Hello and welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast, the podcast based on the YouTube channel, The Ham Radio Crash Course. Today, we're talking about ham radio, again, along with my wife. Let's get started. Hey, Leia. How are you this very interesting week?
Oh, it's been a roller coaster ride. I think for everyone.
For everyone.
Yeah.
In the U.S., but I'm assuming everybody's watching us just like, ha, ha, ha,
the Nevada memes are giving me life.
Nevada memes are hilarious.
Yes.
Just all the jokes of like Nevada people just sleeping or just relaxing, taking their times.
Yeah.
Very funny. So this is very topical. We're obviously talking about a very specific event that's going on, but that's not what this podcast is about. This podcast
is
about
ham radio. Right, we're going to veer away.
Radio. So I like to start off the Ham Radio Crash Course with a ham radio minute. It's never a minute, but that's what we call it. Today I'm going to talk about data cables. And what I mean by data cables is any cable that you would use to connect your computer to your radio. I have recently fallen down into another hole. Hold on. There are radios that come along that have like USB ports on it, and everybody goes, huzzah, a USB port, and they get very excited.
Everybody get a new radio. It has a USB port it's got on a USB it. Port.
In particular, the one I'm talking about is the G-SOC. Interface for the Shagoo G90 radio. It's like a big tablet, like a big old tablet for controlling the radio. And on the side of it, it has two USB-A ports, okay? No one knows...
That's already behind. We're on USB-Cs. They're like so many letters behind.
Hear me out on this. Do you know the difference between the USB cables before I start diving in really hard?
One is big.
Right, so that's an A.
One is a little bit smaller.
That's a mini.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the micro.
Uh-huh.
And there's USB-C.
Yes.
There's also USB-B.
Okay.
Now, the big cable, the USB-A cable, is usually for your host, the computer, if you will.
Okay.
Keyboards have USB-A connectors
to because plug it in
input devices.
To the computer.
Plugging into the computer.
Yes.
They are, the keyboard strokes are the source of the data.
Right.
So you would have a micro key, connector into the keyboard if it had another end to the cable.
Okay.
So usually the smaller end is the thing that's providing data.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the G-SOC has an A side of the cable, and they expect you to connect your computer to it, which is also an A side. So you have to have an A to A USB cable.
You don't see a lot of those anymore.
No.
Yeah.
The only other radio I have that does that is an LD5 by L&R Precision, and I bought that back in the early-ish 2000s.
So you're saying this technology is... 2 decades old.
Oh, sorry, the 2010s was
what I got. Oh, a decade then.
A decade. No, there's radios that do that. And then, for example, so this what I'm talking about here is you probably want to have a decent supply of odd USB cables on hand because you never really know what you're going to have to deal with.
Yeah, that explains your collection of random cables.
Massive cable, random cable collection.
Yet,
mm-hmm.
When we were in Big Bear... Who had the cable that you needed?
And that's a perfect segue.
Who had it, though?
You did.
Yes.
Now, perfect segue into what I really, really, really want to drive home to people is that micro USB cables, the ones you use for your phone.
Yes.
I would say if you go through your junk drawer and pull out all the cables and check them, the predominant number will be charge-only cables.
No data. Oh.
And that's the problem I ran into is I have a ton of charge-only cables. I have a couple of data cables, and I kind of hide them. Like they're in go bags. They're in, my soda bag, stuff
Your
like that.
Precious bags.
My precious data cables. And I forgot to include that when we went to Big Bear. So reminder here is make sure you have data cables, particularly for micro, particularly if you're going to get a ICOM 705. That's a really big thing to remember. And here's another pro tip cable, the audio in and out Y cable. A lot of radios will have one 3.5 millimeter jack for speaker and microphone. So headphones and microphone. But then your computer usually will have two outputs, an output and an input to like a sound card.
Gotcha.
Particularly if you're using like a Sabrent USB sound card. Well, they make Y cables for that. Y cables will allow you to pass the sound So the audio Y cable is something you kind of need to have in your collection as well. And it's probably, like I tell, you know, with everything that you get, one is none, two is one. It's usually good to have a backup of these things. So when you're checking your data cables, make sure you got a couple. Checking your Y cables, make sure you have a couple.
This explains how massive your collection of cables is.
Yes, yes, because I don't throw cables away.
One is never enough.
I don't throw cables away when they show up. I don't know why. I probably should start throwing a lot of them away. But also because, you know, you never know when you need an extra cable.
Apparently.
So that's the ham radio minute. All right, very good. So we're going to hop over to our reviews now. Thanks so much to everybody that reviews the podcast. We super appreciate it. We generally look on iTunes for the reviews. That's the easiest place for us to pull them up. And we are trying to figure out a way to do something else, but that's how we're doing it right now. So just want to say, you know, big thank you for everybody that does the reviews. Great podcast by Disturbed01.
Hmm.
Hi, Josh and Leah. I wanted to thank you for all the effort you put into doing this podcast. I wanted to let you know that you have inspired me to take my ham license test, and I passed my tech and general last weekend.
Wow.
Now, with that said, I have a question. I'm looking to get a HF transceiver. I currently have some Yaesu products. I'm really happy with the FTM-400. The FTM-400 is the radio I have in my car. It's a VHF, UHF radio.
Gotcha.
With that in mind, what radio would you suggest I get for my base station? Thank you for saying base station. I have about half an acre in the country for an antenna.
Oh, dreams.
Any advice is appreciated.
You're going to tell this guy to get the biggest antenna he can.
yeah, exactly. Well, a lot of it always comes down to budget. You said base station. So base stations, there are a lot on the market. I generally point people, specifically if they're looking for an HF base station, to an ICOM IC7300. It is a great radio to start out with. It's not cheap. It's about $1,000, so it's definitely not cheap. The advantage is it'll do pretty much everything you want to do in HF right out of the box. It's very easy to get up on the air. It's very easy to get around the menu system. It uses one USB cable to connect to your computer.
Got a waterfall.
It's got a waterfall. Now, that cable is an A to B cable, like you'd use on a printer. Remember those cables?
What?
The square USB.
Oh, this is so crazy.
Right? Yeah. So have one of those, FYI. So I would go with that. That would be my recommendation. And you can get a power supply to match to go along with it. And you'll normally need to have all those accessories no matter which base station you went with. You could go with a Yaesu FT-991A. That is a kind of shack-in-the-box radio, so it does HF and VHF, UHF. You said Yaesu, so you might want to look at that as well. Plus, Yaesu is coming out with a brand new SDR, HF-only radio. We don't exactly know what the price is, but I'm guessing it's going to be about $1,500, so it's going to be more expensive, no question. But, you know, it's... We don't know enough.
What is a cheaper radio that will get most of the job done?
A ICOM IC7100 will get most of the job done.
And what are you losing between the 7300 and the 7100?
The 7100 doesn't have the waterfall.
Okay.
The 7100 does, however, have VHF, UHF. So it's a shack-in-the-box type radio. It's not a base station. It's more of what you would like put in a car. It's a mobile radio. It looks nice, though, on the desk because it has a detachable face unit. Mm-hmm. The body of the radio you can hide like under a desk and all that stuff. So it's got clean lines.
What makes for a good base station, though? I don't know that I...
A base station generally is like a big box you put on a table. That's your base station. You use it at home. There are some base stations that are luggable. You can take into the field. You can use them in the field. Have fun with radio that way. And those do, you know, those do just great. You know, those are fine.
But like your the 7100, you're saying that it doesn't have a spectrum analyzer, which is the big difference. But is there any other usability loss? Like if you take something, you said that the 7100 could be mobile, but are you sacrificing a whole lot for it to be mobile versus the 7300 that is obviously a base station type radio?
It's mostly form factor. Base stations usually have more on-screen controls. So the 7300 is a touchscreen in addition to having dials and knobs and buttons.
Mm-hmm.
7300 has less. 7300 doesn't have an automatic antenna tuner.
Mm.
The 7300 does, but it only goes up to 3-to-1 as far as the match for the antenna goes, for the impedance match. The 7100 is also an older radio, right? So
okay.
It's not an SDR. It's not a software-defined radio. The 7300 is. So if you're interested in something like that, I would start. Again, just knowing, you know, most people, when they're sitting down in front of a radio and they say base station, I'm going to say like 7300. Just check that out. You probably can't go wrong there. That would be my, generally what I tell people.
Okay.
Well, he said quarter acre though. So half, got to fill that with an antenna. I would say go start out with making your own dipoles. Get them as high up as you can. If you can, throw the lines into trees. Get them way up in the air. You could also start out with a end-fed half-wave antenna, and you can probably go all the way up to 80 meters with that, and that'll take you through pretty much all the bands without any issue, tuning problems or anything like that. It's generally a good idea for you to kind of go with the cheaper antennas to start before you decide which direction you want to go. And if you have the space and you don't have kids running around, you can always go with a DX Commander, go with the Classic. That will give you five bands. It'll give you most HF bands, and that's a vertical antenna, so it will have radial wires on the ground, but it's an excellent performer.
Is the type of antenna you choose highly dependent on the location you're at?
Well, if you have a small lot, yes. If you have a lot of land, the sky's the limit. You could explore all kinds of different things. You don't have to go with like.
Well, I mean, like in terms of terrain. Like, are you, is
like
there,
if you're on the mountainside? Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a better antenna to be used in like the flat areas of the country versus the coastlines? And
it more or less depends on kind of what you want to do with it. So a vertical antenna is going to give you a lower takeoff angle of your RF, which is going to get you potentially a further away bounce off the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be better for working DX, longer distance contacts.
Okay.
But it's probably going to be deaf when you are trying to talk to somebody local. So you'd have to have a completely different antenna if you wanted to talk to somebody that's like 200, 300 miles out from you, that kind of thing. So yeah, there are situations where, you know, certain antennas will behave a little bit better or different. That's why I generally say, like, make your own dipole. Go buy your a 1-to-1 balun center connector, buy it online, they're really cheap, and just put two lengths of wire on either side that you cut, string it up, and have fun. Get started with that, figure out what you like, and go with that. That would be my recommendation. So yeah, thank you for the comment, Disturbed One. Okay, goals from the part-time chef.
Okay, part-time chef.
I do wish Leia would get some other guests on her podcast, but otherwise, no complaints.
No other guests are going to do any of the back end work. Yeah. I don't.
In all seriousness, lots of good content. I have learned quite a bit from them both. Recently passed my tech, and soon will upgrade to my general.
Congrats.
I'm not sure my wife will be as understanding as Leia, but fingers crossed. Can't recommend both the podcast and YouTube channel enough. Thank you very much. Tons of great radio advice. Not so good if you are looking to help with simple syrup.
I did almost burn down the house with simple syrup.
Keep up the good work, Dave. No, thank you, Dave. Let's see. Pull up your GE help.
Wait, I do want to clarify. I know how to make simple syrup. Mm-hmm. The key, though, is not to leave the house on a walk.
Yeah. I would say that the majority of recipes don't include leaving the house and going on a walk.
Well, if it's in an Instant Pot, it's
fine.
Or like
a crock pot meal, maybe?
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Pull up your GE Help Emergency CB radio and listen. And this is from Sideboom. Sideboom's a longtime follower of the channel and the YouTubes and the Discord and all that fun stuff. And he says, been following for quite some time now. Don't know why I never picked up and started following on the podcast, but I'm sure glad I did. Great content. Well, thank you, Sideboom. And I know he said he pulled out an old iPhone just to do the review.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
So that's super dedication. I appreciate it. A great show from AC1JB. He says, the ham radio podcasts that I typically like are the ones where the hosts are laid back, down-to-earth people. I'm not really into the really involved tech stuff. I want to learn about the hobby, more about what I already know, as well as some possible new areas to explore. I like when the hosts are very knowledgeable in a general sense, but also are smart enough to have the right guests for specific issues. I used to love this about everything ham radio and Ham Radio 360, when you feel like you are listening to like a friend.
Mm-hmm.
They have both ended. Since then, I have been looking for a
Wait, what happened to them?
They stopped doing it.
Oh.
They've been gone for a little while now. Since then, I've been looking for a show to replace them. In my opinion, Josh has stepped into the void, taken ownership of it, and knocked it out of the park.
Aw, that's so nice. Thank you.
I'm actually looking forward to my commute again. Leia has been great. I'm sure glad she has taken over the hosting responsibilities. You two are an awesome couple. You do such a great job at making people feel like they can do it. I love that you have the tech course series. Everyone learns differently, and having a guy explain the topics will certainly help a lot of people. Thanks for all you do. Best wishes from RI, or is that right? Yeah. Best wishes from Rhode Island, I'm assuming is what he said. Joe, AC1JB. Thank you, Joe. That is extremely
nice. Thank you, Joe.
I appreciate that very much. Leia, we're drinking beers. We said we'd do it. A discussion, talk about the beers we're drinking.
Yes. You know, especially since such kind listeners are sending in beers.
Yeah. So the first one we have is from Grimus, who sent a lovely care package. This is the last one of these, which I got two of them. And Leia's drinking it. It is the Half Acre Beer Company Big Hugs. It's an imperial stout brewed with coffee and vanilla, and it features a ton of cats.
Robotic cats. It's everything I like in a stout.
Yeah, I figured you'd love that.
It's fantastic.
There's all kinds of cats and dinosaurs. Like, here, I'll let you look at the cat.
This artwork is incredible. It's like a two-headed cat.
It's like it's a
four-faced cat with a horn, and then there's a snake and dinosaurs.
Did you see the robot cat on the other side, the left-hand side?
Yeah. Oh my god, robot! It's like
Mecha Godzilla, but a cat.
Yeah, and there's like a scared elf and somebody rowing a boat. This artwork's really incredible. I think we're gonna have to take a picture of it and pop it on the Discord or something.
Yeah.
And 10 years of hugs. That is, it's like is that supposed to be Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Where?
This?
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. That's maybe. An incredible, it's a really great beer too. Actually, it's very coffee, vanilla forward, very drinkable for an imperial stout.
Yeah, it's very good. So thank you for that, Grimus. We appreciate it. And then I have a simple Founders Porter, which has a Victorian lady on the label.
Yes, quite dignified.
And it's good. It's just a good porter. You can get these all over the place. Founders is, are they California local? No, they're Grand Rapids, Michigan. So yeah, they're all over the place.
Thank you, Grimus, for this delicious beer. We appreciate it. And thank you to Half Acre Beer Company.
Mm-hmm, for brewing a wonderful beer. Well, thank you for that. Okay, so it's time for Leia's Corner. Let's read some emails.
Oh man, I got a lot of them.
And you can reach Leia at leia@hamtactical.com. Remember, if there are ham radio questions that you want to go to me, send them to me at hoshnasi@gmail.com. Right. Otherwise, it's just not going to work out for you.
I mean, you can ask me questions that I'm going to ask on the podcast. That's kind of fine.
Yeah.
But if you need like an answer quickly,
yeah,
about something,
if you don't mind waiting a week and potentially not getting your answer exactly the way you phrased a question in an email because we may go off on a tangent, then yeah, keep that in mind.
I mean, you really don't want my advice is what we're getting at here.
You're like, okay, I got an answer. Is this from you, Leia, or is it from Josh?
My answer is whatever you do, just get the most aesthetic antenna
yes. smallest.
Really low profile.
If you don't even know it's an antenna.
Yeah.
That is my recommendation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's everybody's like, what?
What? But I got a half acre. Well, put up a gazebo? Something.
Jacuzzis are amazing.
A jacuzzi would be good.
Great for ham radio.
Wonderful. They love the water.
Okay. Here we go. I've got quite a lot, so we're going to try to blow through them because I'm pretty sure one of these actually says that our podcast is too long.
Good. The best way to speed us along is to definitely add something that we're going to talk about on the podcast. That's like those emails that you would get that they reply all and they say, please remove me from the email chain. There's nothing that continues an email chain on like saying, reply all, please remove me from this email chain.
Just spite responses.
I swear, when I first started at one of these larger aerospace companies years ago, that happened. And it shut the email system down for like a whole day.
What?
It shut everything down.
How?
Your inbox was full of people saying, please remove me from this email list.
Oh my God.
It was obnoxious and hilarious.
Okay. A topic to mention from Finian Devers. Hi, Leia. As a young ham, I'm concerned about how to deal with people that may come along and try to harass and annoy me. I'm concerned that I could get easily bullied by ham radio because of my age difference. For instance, your kids have Josh to help them deal with it. Since I have no hams, I know at the moment, what do I do? How can I feel safe in amateur radio as a young ham?
This is a multi-pronged question, really, with a couple of answers. The obvious one is, you know, be involved in ham radio areas where you are comfortable, of course.
Sure.
If you join a club, make sure you're comfortable in that club. If you want somewhere to go online, join the ham radio crash course. We try to, you know, we pride ourselves on not letting that kind of stuff happen.
Yeah, the Facebook page, the Discord.
Right, all the things. And the links for that will be in the description.
And huge shout out to the admins.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. They are really not only inclusive, but they really actually go out of their way to help hams that are having issues. Mm-hmm. So
the other thing I would recommend is try to be conscious of how you sound when you're saying whatever you're saying on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sure, you can talk about things like politics, religion, and some of that other stuff. You can do that, but maybe don't do that, particularly if you're younger. Maybe focus on, you know, just your interest in the hobby, things you're curious about, that kind of stuff. Be conscious of how you come across. I kind of would say that to any person that's young. You know, think about the message you're putting out there. Because people will oftentimes, because you're young, assume that you meant it in a way you probably didn't, in likely a negative way.
Okay. Trying to track what you're saying here.
No, you're not getting it? The only thing you have control of is yourself, right? At the end of the day. You can't walk into a room, right, that you've never been in and expect everybody to just, like, accept you.
Sure.
I hate to say that. That's the way the world
is. Do you find that a lot of young hams get bullied, though?
No. I don't, but he's worried about it. So the only thing I can say then is be conscious of what he's putting out there.
Yeah.
I'm not saying censor yourself. I'm saying consider the message, consider who you're talking to. Right?
Yeah, be respectful.
It's not just be respectful. It's understand what they're saying, what they're talking about. Like if you hop on a repeater, listen on the repeater for a little while. Listen to what they're talking about.
Right.
And if you're just going to key up to change the topic of discussion, mm-hmm. don't key up. Mm-hmm. I tell that to anybody. Don't key up. Let them talk. Wait for the topic to change or shift or whatever, and then jump in there with a question, whatever, right? It's the same kind of social cues.
Gotcha.
There's social cues in ham radio.
I will say this, though, because Finian feels like he doesn't have a ham that he knows, but the really great thing about ham radio and the internet is that you are able to connect with other people that you don't know,
right,
based off of this shared hobby.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, I feel like it would be not too difficult to find an Elmer.
No. Online, though.
Yeah.
You're probably not going to be finding a lot of people that are going to want to like do stuff in person now because of COVID, sure, and all that, yeah, stuff.
But I don't know that Hams wanted to do so many things in person in the first place.
Well, they do in the club meetings. Absolutely. Sure. But now that's gone online.
Yeah.
So just like I said, consider getting involved in a community. You've got to find your tribe, right? That's kind, yeah, of what we've always said, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's a club, an online community, or both, do all the things, mm-hmm, until you find something that
yeah,
vibes with the way you vibe. You know, yeah, what I mean? That whole deal. But again, that's why I'm saying it's a multifaceted question.
Yeah. Okay.
Good question. But
yes,
I would tell him generally everybody's cool. So, you know, but he's worried about it. So he's obviously, you know, thinking about it. So.
Gotcha. Okay. This message is from Todd and it's two parts. So I'm going to hit the podcast one. And he requested a specific hoodie be made, like an existing design be made into, mm-hmm, a hoodie. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do that. You guys are going to see a Fango in a Woods hoodie go live this Saturday.
Oh.
So because Todd requested it. Okay. Todd says, first of all, I'm still loving the podcast. There's been some talk of bringing back the YouTube live stream audio to the podcast. I am a fan of this. I do most of my listening while driving and working. It's easier to download podcasts and listen to them while my phone is in my pocket than deal with YouTube. Just my two cents. So that's another vote for you to do a stream rip audio.
So that would be, we'd still have our podcast on the Friday or whenever it comes, mm-hmm, out. And then just like I take the audio and throw it up on a separate podcast. Yeah, that's fine.
Sure.
I don't think that's a problem. Maybe. Just cram that into another one more hour that just
disappear. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So this one is from Sterling. Well, you know.
Sterling Mann?
Yeah, Sterling Mann.
Okay.
Big fan of Sterling's.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so we are big fans of his.
Yes, he is so knowledgeable and, like you, explains things so well.
Mm-hmm.
And I am also always delighted when somebody is here to correct you.
Oh boy! So now Sterling and I are.
Thank you,
here
Sterling.
We go. Here we go.
Sterling is my guy.
All right, Sterling.
Okay, rosin up your solder and play your iron hard is the title of this.
Okay.
Hi, Leia. I couldn't help with the subject line. I'm ready to inform you and your co-host, Josh, that rosin, which is contained inside solder wire, is also known as flux, isn't a heat transfer agent. It's actually more like a soap that cleans the metal pad connectors, wire, etc. that you're soldering on, and the solder itself of oxides and other gunk that makes it hard for the solder metal to stick to the workpiece while it's molten once it freezes.
Okay.
It also acts as a barrier to oxygen that prevents the joint from becoming oxidized after it's complete. Flux also helps clean the soldering iron tip in the same way, making it almost a non-stick surface that you can clean off with a damp sponge or brassy woolly pad. Mm. A gunked up iron can be easily cleaned by submerging it in flux, letting it boil off, and wiping the gunk away. Rosin is also the stuff that makes the smoke and smell of solder as it vaporizes on the iron tip. The actual metal has no smell or vapor when melted by itself. It really is rosin made from the tree goo, though, the same stuff that goes onto fiddle bows.
Yeah.
Not like this helps you get your license or anything, but fun facts are a big part of the hobby.
He just copied that from Wikipedia. Still
an avid listener, rooting for you to get that ticket. And that's Sterling N0SSC.
That's fantastic. Good, yeah, work, Sterling. That was very,
thank
very
you,
helpful.
Sterling.
That was good information, so thank you.
Thank you. I love emails from Sterling. I don't think you understand how much. When I get an email from Sterling, I'm like, yeah.
He's going to say something about Josh.
Okay. Darren, the real Weens, okay, who we discussed in the past podcast,
okay,
is responding to what we said.
Okay.
He said, hi, Leia and Josh. Thanks for reading my last email on the show. I was enjoying your reactions to it. Josh, I'm disappointed in you that you didn't recognize my call signs as being from Canada.
What was it?
VE / VA call signs are Canadian call signs.
Thank you. Thank you, Darren.
VE7, VA7 are British Columbia prefixes. Mm.
I'll definitely remember this.
You should remember that because that's where your uncle is.
Oh, yeah.
He's in
yeah.
British Columbia, so you should know that.
The VEVA's got it. Got it.
Okay. As for not watching the YouTube channel, being that it's live on Saturdays, I'm out flying my RC aircraft on most Saturdays, plus sitting in my front of my computer watching YouTube channel is something I try hard to avoid doing. I work very hard to try to limit my screen time, especially YouTube stuff. I work alone most days, so podcasts are fantastic for me to listen to while working.
Good for you.
Yes, good for that you. That is good discipline. Not me. I'm hooked on TikToks. and the other thing you commented on that I probably haven't been in the hobby long enough to appreciate the in-depth podcast. I've actually had my ham license for over 20 years now. Mm. I used to be hard into that stuff. However, I worked in the commercial two-way radio industry for quite a few years. The shops I worked for didn't focus on ham radio, but we were willing to help and order ham radio stuff. Oh. I eventually quit that work because I was starting to hate radio.
Whoa.
Could you imagine?
I can't.
Joshua.
That's like going to work at HRO and then like stop liking radios. I don't think that
I was
happen.
Just having too much radio in my life. Josh.
What?
Is there a point that you would, that is true?
I was working
in the industry. My personal truck has had as many as 13 antennas on it. Yes, that's right. I had as many as 13, mostly use VA7CE for my normal QC. Oh, wait. As many as 13 antennas on the Dodge Dakota truck. Mm-hmm. I had an Echo Link node. Sure. That's why I still have my V7NLY as a call sign. I mostly use VA7CE for my normal QSOs. I had piles of antennas in my backyard and a full room of radios. Yes, it mm-hmm. is possible to have too much of a good thing. It actually caused me to drastically pull back from ham radio. That's when I got into RC flying, which
those
also has radios. Radio,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's still radio.
But I get what he's saying.
Sure.
And
you got to find a balance, right?
Yes. While I never left ham radio completely, I drastically reduced my ham radio time. Unfortunately, now I live in a basement suite and my landlords don't want me to have an antenna in my backyard.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Oh, I still operate in my truck with only two antennas on it now, but it's just not the same. Listening to you guys is a way for me to get back into it. I'm not really interested in getting back deep into the hobby. My favorite part of the hobby has and still is chatting with many of the awesome people on ham radio. I look forward to just having a nice conversation with people each time I turn my radio on.
That's great.
I think that's very appealing for a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, and I would argue that that's probably what most people do, right?
Right.
With ham radios, that they're looking for the connection, the conversation,
yeah.
You know, something fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It says, thanks for doing what you do. I know it can take up a huge amount of time and money. It does. So I really appreciate what you are doing with this hobby. That's from Darren. Thank you, Darren.
Thank you, Darren.
Is very, very nice. Okay. This next one is a podcast review and a question from Riley Ninehuis. I'm so sorry if I butchered your last name, Riley. Hey, Leia and Josh, I wanted to leave a review and ask a question for the podcast, but I hate iTunes almost as much as I hate seeing overpriced rugged radio ads.
Ooh.
That's a lot of hate.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So here's my email. I work 12-hour shifts for my job where I mostly drive around all day and I listen to podcasts for the majority of that time. I am relatively new to ham radio and I wanted to find a podcast to listen to so I could learn more and keep up on new tech and topics of the ham world. Out of all the ham-related podcasts, yours is the best.
Oh, thank you. That is so nice.
I love the balance between ham radio-related topics and regular life banter. It makes it very enjoyable and easy to listen to without getting bored.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is a good question.
Okay.
Okay. Quick question for Josh. Where do you see ham radio in 20 to 30 years? I sometimes worry that my generation won't pick it up to move it forward, and eventually it will die out, leaving lots of cheap used gear for sale. But what is your opinion on that? Where do you see it in the future, and how could we help keep it going? Maybe just a selfish view of it, but you know, 12 hours in a vehicle gets you thinking weird stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for the podcast. Keep it coming. Always look forward to Fridays. Much love from Michigan. And that's from Riley KE8PKP. It says, P.S. Leia, don't forget to put Josh in his place and remind him whose podcast it really
is. That's right. That's right. Thank you.
It's your podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're ending it right now. Watch whose podcast it is. Click. I'm just kidding, of course. We love those comments.
Yes.
We do get a big crack. So here's a really not that interesting thought on where ham radio is going to be in the next 20, 25 years. We know antenna technology doesn't change. It's not even technology. It's just working with the physics of RF. It's just, right, antennas are going to be antennas, the same antennas that you're using.
Antenna's going to antenna.
Antenna's going to antenna. There's a shirt.
Yeah.
So that stuff's not really going to change. You're going to be using a lot of the same antennas you've always used before, right, going forward. What we can look forward to is, I feel, SDRs will be the thing. Most radios will be SDRs. They will interface with other technology easier, like your computer, in a multitude of ways, not just USB. They'll be Wi-Fi enabled. They'll be easy to remote into and out of. You won't have to be at your shack, right, for a lot of stuff. But the face of ham radio, I'd like to see if the median age could get a bit younger, but I don't know that that's going to happen. I would like to see ham radio become more diverse, bring in more everyone else that isn't the older white dude who's kind of the face of ham radio right now.
What's going to bring people to the hobby, though?
Well, you know, we talked about that in the past. What brought you interest in the hobby? It was the emergency preparedness aspect.
Yeah.
There's a lot of kids who are looking at ham radio from a STEM aspect, from a maker aspect. So that's going to bring younger people in, I think, more so than in the past. I think a lot of younger people found ham radio in the past decades through the, I'm going to talk to people on the other side of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still a compelling option. But younger people are finding ham radio now from also the standpoint of understanding how the RF works, getting their hands dirty with making stuff, hacking into Raspberry Pis, working with electronics projects, that ham radio is adjacent to that effort, not just the thing to make a long distance contact. So I think we're going to have more of those people.
But I think what makes ham radio sticky in terms of use, like actually people on the bands versus using the technology, is whether or not they're enjoying the conversations that they have when they hop on.
Well, so in that front, I think there's going to be just more digital use in general. I think people are going to be on digital radio more so.
You know, I still think the secret is a snack swap.
The snack swap?
Yeah.
The snack, the snack net? Snack net, yeah.
Yeah, snack net.
But there's a part of me that just thinks that's just going to be similar to what it is today, just in the future. There'll be another hot digital mode. It won't be FT8, or maybe it will, but you know, 20 years seems like a long time for that mode to stay.
Yeah, maybe something catastrophic happens with cell phones.
That would be funny. And then there'll still be a prepper component to it as well. There'll be people who are, you know, using ham radio and using radio technologies in general to just line their preparations for self-reliance, self-sufficiency, dealing with disasters, all that fun stuff. But there's a part of me where it's just like, hey, maybe it's not really going to change that much at all. It's going to look just like this. We're just going to have cooler radios.
Huh.
Yeah. I mean, that's not really a fancy thought, but it's totally plausible. It's the Occam's razor of ham radio futures, I guess.
Well, I hope that answers your question, Riley.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for writing in. EME to pick up ladies?
Yes.
This is from Joseph Burns.
What are you driving? I'm driving a Tesla. What's on it? Well, that's an EME array. M'lady.
Tesla.
Tips fedora.
Tesla doesn't even want side view mirrors on their vehicle.
It folds into the back of the Cybertruck. Okay. You click a button. It
did you hear that Tesla just rolled out tequila? $250 a bottle. Yeah. It's like, come on, Elon, pick a lane.
He's drunk behind the wheel. He's swerving into all the lanes.
He's like, here is my flamethrower. And on this side, a beverage to go with your flamethrower.
Once you're nice and toasty, toast something with the flamethrower. Yes.
Just really safe operations.
Mm-hmm. And then get behind this boring machine.
Yeah. Get in this coffin tube that will transport you from one side of the state to the other. Okay.
That was a Hyperloop joke, if anybody didn't catch that.
We're not fans of Elon Musk in this house.
So. I mean, I like the cars, but I don't know. There's some realities there that I don't know that people fully understand about.
Did you know that, like, one of our friends, well, two of our friends, because they're a couple, but their kid got trapped in Tesla. They had to break a window to get her out because, like, something happened with the battery. And so the car, like, powered down and none of the controls would work. And they couldn't, like, get the car open.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I know. It says, hey, on that note,
okay,
not a bummer.
No.
Hey, hope you and Josh and the kids are great. We are. Thank you.
We're good. Yeah. And they're good too. The kids.
Yes, they are. Started Phantom Signals today. Mm. I'm partway through episode 2. Hulu. I didn't know it was on Hulu. I guess it's on Hulu.
Wow.
So Hulu is making me start there for some reason.
Shout out to Hulu. Go watch Phantom Signals from the Science Channel on Hulu.
Yeah, I did not know.
Somebody told me today they tried Hulu and they couldn't find it. So apparently they weren't doing it right.
I don't know.
But that's good.
I think Hulu also sometimes cues you to enter your cable provider.
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
Josh is sure lucky to have you clean up his ham's back.
Ham Shack.
It says ham's back.
I'm assuming you meant ham shack.
Okay. Anyway, you guys are great. Just a question for you guys. The wow signal. Could this just be E.T. life's way of trying to pick up ladies with their own variety of EME?
Interstellar pickup. Yes.
I kid. I wish you guys all the best, Joe.
Could you imagine,
JB?
Could you imagine? You get yourself a girlfriend from your amazing Earth, Moon, Earth antenna system, and then some alien swoops in and takes your lady away.
I thought you were going to go down a catfish hole, but okay. In this case, it is interstellar. Mm-hmm. Infidelity.
Right.
Is what's happening. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, wow. Yeah. Wow.
Indeed.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow. Indeed.
Okay. So before I read this note, this is actually a note I sent myself.
Okay. You sent yourself an email.
I did.
Hey, Leia. This is Leia from the past.
Yes. I actually sent it because I have to preface this with an apology. Somebody called me and they had asked for a radio recommendation. And I was in the middle of like homeschooling the kids. And I was just like, you're calling Leia?
You said, get a CB and hang
up
the phone.
And
buy a Baofeng. Click.
And I didn't really let him get everything out. And what I suspect is actually that he wanted me to take the question and read it on the podcast.
Right. We don't run a voicemail box.
Right.
For the podcast. Right. I mean, yet. But we may need one if people are figuring out how to dial you up. I don't understand that whole thing.
So, so anyways, he had explained that he is a truck driver and he drives 12 hours a day.
Oh, man.
So he's looking for a ham radio setup that works in a truck. the antenna, the radio, the whole shebang. Mm-hmm. And again, huge apologies. I don't think I even caught your name clearly. But I'm assuming this is what you wanted to happen.
Okay. Don't call Leia. That's the first thing I'll say. You know, actually, Wes, who's on the Discord, he's a truck driver, and he just made the decision to go buy a 7300.
Really?
Yeah. And what he does is he has an antenna mount on the mirror support of the truck, and he's planning on putting an ATOS 120 adjustable ham radio antenna mm-hmm. on his mount for his mirror. And he said the thing that gave him the inspiration to just go ahead and do it on his truck was the video I shot with Billy Bob from Ham Radio Outlet.
Huh.
Billy Bob crammed a 7300 into a tiny car.
That's amazing.
His brother made him a custom aluminum enclosure, and they bolted it to the chassis of his car.
Huh.
And I think he used to own a smart car. Remember smart cars?
Yes.
He used to own one of those.
Tiny, tiny.
He used to have an FT891 Yaesu in that. But I think he upgraded to a Scion or something like that, but a small Scion. And yeah, he put a custom enclosure, put a 7300 in it. Now, from talking to Wes and other truck drivers, I understand that you generally have to be, you have to be able to remove everything from the truck. You can't leave the equipment in the truck.
Unless you own the truck.
That's a rarer thing these days, from what I understand.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, with that said, you may have an antenna mount on the window, the mirror, and that you can take off, take on, whatever, and you can just run the coax inside. And then you can just have a battery that you run the radio off of. It doesn't necessarily have to run off of the truck. In a lot of cases, you probably don't want to run off of the truck. With like a 7300, it probably draws too much current, but I don't know. I don't want to assume. I don't know much about diesels. I don't know much power they're packing. But yeah, that's what he's planning on doing. So I don't know. If you need a fully like portable grab it and go type of thing, you could build a cool little go box with a radio in it and have all the little external attachments for power and antenna and all that fun stuff. And then you can just grab it like a briefcase and
I'm so glad you described this, because I am deep into van builds, like, you know, these mini home van builds.
Yes.
And I've seen so many of them. And so when I was thinking about this, I was like, oh, you could like deck out a full like mini ham shack home, right? Like in a part of your truck.
Is this how you thought you'd get rid of all my radios from the house? Is that you buy a van, you go like, Josh, I got a van. Now put all your radios in it. Do it now.
You have more radios than would fit into a van. Like, you wouldn't even have space for a shower, bathroom, kitchen, or anything. It would just be a bunch of shelves mm-hmm. in a van.
I bathe myself in RF. fun story that you mentioned that. This is a super tangent.
Okay.
You know how HOAs they don't let you put an antenna up?
Right.
On your house.
Mm-hmm.
People have cars that they permanently leave parked at their house that they erect an antenna on. And they run the coax from the car into the house.
That's the most expensive antenna ever.
That is what we call malicious compliance. By the way, look up Google malicious compliance and the images that come up. They will make you laugh so hard because so many of them are like against HOAs. They're specifically targeted. Like,
oh, HOAs are terrible.
And working within the rules to get what you want in one of the most just asinine ways to do it. It is so funny. So yeah, fun little tidbit there.
I do love malicious compliance.
R/malicious compliance. Yep.
Okay. Podcast and t-shirt idea.
Ooh.
Woo woo. Okay, this one is from Marvin. Leia, Josh, as a new ham, passed tech in general in June. Congratulations. I'm enjoying the podcast and learning lots of stuff. You guys do a good job of presenting information in a way that is entertaining as well as informative.
Thank you.
Having a non-ham to ask questions is a very good way to bring newbies or other non-hams along. Keep it up.
There's a method to my madness.
Thanks for the tip on the web, SDR.org.
Yeah.
I checked in today and was able to, quote unquote, visit HF for the first time. My arsenal of radios is a dual band 2 meter 70 centimeter Baofeng handheld at this point, so it was interesting to be able to listen in on some of the other bands and see what was going on. Maybe someday. My only complaint is that some of your podcasts go a little long, like an hour and 54 minutes. That is long. Yeah. Unlike California, or so I've heard, my commute to work is very short. I'm 22 minutes away unless I get behind a tractor. So a podcast that long might take a whole week for me to get through.
We only produce one a week.
Yeah.
What are you complaining about?
Shorter is better so that I don't lose my place before I get back to it. I'm attaching a t-shirt idea. I don't think I've seen anything like this, but thought it would be unique. Just be aware that some of the clip art I use may not be for commercial use.
Oh, geez.
I'm just presenting a concept. Thanks for bringing us rookies along and keep up the good work. The graphic is actually of a hotel, the Greek alpha symbol, and a mic, and radio. So it's like hotel, alpha, mic, radio, ham radio. You're following? Fine. You're
Hotel
not enthused.
Alpha Mike.
All right. Okay.
Got it.
Not enthused. Okay. Thank you, Marvin, for the email.
I appreciate the effort.
Man, your face sometimes.
I was actually trying to wrap my head around it because I thought he was going with the Alpha Hotel. That's a thing we use when you say, oh, he's an Alpha Hotel.
Oh.
An a-hole.
Oh.
Within radio. I flipped it. So you said Hotel Alpha. And so I was like, how do I get to A-hole? And I had it. She took a sip of beer. Sorry.
I'm trying not to spray beer all
over
the equipment.
All over the equipment.
Yeah.
In the podcast studio. So that's, I apologize. Trying to wrap my head around it. And I'm like, I was trying to get there because that's like the popular.
You're like, I definitely don't want to put a-hole on a shirt, guys.
Yeah. But Alpha Hotel, that might work. Yeah. We should explore that.
Okay. This is from Nathan. I want to thank you and Josh for your podcast. It is very informative, and you ask the right questions for us appliance operators.
Mm-hmm.
I recently got my technician license in September. I am studying for my general. Probably will take a while. I have watched Josh's videos and have faithfully watched almost every live stream and listened to all of the podcasts with you and Josh.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. That is... high praise.
That's awesome. Yeah. That really means a lot. Thank you.
A few weeks ago, you discussed some movies with ham radio in it. Has Josh ever seen the movie High Frequency 1988? It heavily features ham radio. It can be found on YouTube.
What?
I first watched it when I was a little kid on VHS. Thanks for your help, Nathan. That's K1. M-A-Z.
I'm literally looking it up right now.
You're so excited. You're so excited.
A boy who operates a ham radio and a man who works at a satellite relay station witness the same murder thousands of miles apart and have to figure out how to warn the next potential victim.
My God.
This is right up my alley.
That was the book I was writing. Did I watch this as a child?
Oh my gosh. Thank you for helping us avoid a massive plagiarism lawsuit. At the very least.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much for what inevitably will be a movie Josh drags
makes
me
you watch.
Into watching.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. It was The Thing was what I was going to make you watch. That's the most recent movie I want you to watch.
The Thing?
Yeah.
Like the hand from the Addams Family?
Yes, but he's an alien, and he possesses bodies, animals, and humans. And then...
Halloween's over.
Turns into a monster and tries to, like, kill people.
Oh.
It is amazing. And it's set in an Arctic research facility. Kurt Russell's the main character.
It's always in an Arctic research facility.
What other movies is in an Arctic research facility?
There's always this apocalypse thing.
There was that murder at the Arctic research facility. That was a good one. Yeah, so that's the hot one. What was it? Carpenter. Carpenter was the same director as Alien.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Some argue that they're very similar movies.
Well, I sounds like I don't need to watch it.
Nope, don't need to watch it.
Okay, I guess
Are you done with the emails?
I am done with the emails. Thank you.
By the way, today is not going to be a short episode, so I'll just say that.
Hang on to your boots.
Yeah, because we're just getting to the test questions, which is the next segment of our show, Leia taking the technician exam.
I mean, I could cut this part like way short.
You could.
Yeah.
You could, but who wants that?
I mean, I know at least one person who does. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for your emails and your reviews. Mm-hmm. And on with the show, I guess.
How many questions are you at right now? Did you start a new test?
This is a new test.
This is a new
test. Just a reminder for everybody of my past failures. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I got 22 out of 35 the last round.
22?
Despite the fact that it seemed like I was doing well.
Yeah. You kind of fell off at the end on that one, I feel like.
Yeah.
You were doing really... It was a strong start.
Yeah.
Well, let's recreate the strong start, but carry it all the way to the finish on this next one.
I don't think that's going to happen.
It will happen if you have the right attitude.
Oh, yeah. How many amperes are flowing through a circuit when the applied voltage is 12 volts DC and the load is 120 watts?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the question. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing this is some magnitude of 10 or like 0.1, something where you're moving a decimal.
Okay.
Okay. I should read it again since I read it so quickly. Okay. How many amperes are flowing in a circuit when the applied voltage is 12 volts DC and the load is 120 watts? A, 12 amperes, B, 0.1 amperes, C, 10 amperes, D, 132 amperes. I'm just going to say 12. 12 amperes. No, I don't.
Wait, what were the
answers? I don't understand the relationship between amperes, volts, and watts.
Yeah, because I didn't show you that diagram.
Thanks. It's fine. I'm not blaming you for my lack of studying.
Well, I mean, you haven't studied really at all.
I mean, I did like two additional practice tests on my own.
Wait, did you actually answer already?
No.
What are the answers again?
A, 12 amperes, B, 0.1 amperes, C, 10 amperes, or D, 130 amperes.
Okay.
Am I saying that right? Amperes?
Yeah. Okay. I didn't say amps, but...
But I just don't know how an amp, like the amperes relate to the volts, relate to the watts. Mm-hmm. I don't know any of that. So I'm vacillating between 12 and 10, and it's still all just so meaningless.
Okay.
10. That was my guess. I guess 10. It was correct. So go me.
You made it.
That was a shot in the dark.
Well, you'll never forget it now, right?
Oh, you should just show me the chart.
Yeah, I'll have to show
thank
you the
chart. You. What is the name for a current that flows only in one direction? A, smooth current.
Smooth current.
See, there's just not enough syllables for operator.
Let me have some of the cat.
B, alternating current.
Yes.
C, normal current.
Normal current, yes.
Normie currents. Yes. D, direct current.
Right.
I'm going to go with direct current.
Good for you.
Good for me. Good for, this is kind of a strong beer.
Well, you got the last two right, so maybe that's the answer. We said that. We're going to have you all tuned up before you do your test. You're like, hey, guys. They say, like, so that's another really interesting factoid.
I'm going to have to take it drunk.
The VEs that do it online, right? The online testing, most people have. Where is a room in your home where the least amount of electronics are? Because you can't have any cheating. There can be nothing in the room that you could potentially cheat with.
Bedroom?
Nope.
Office? Kitchen?
Negative.
Bar?
I mean, that's a good answer, but no.
Backyard?
I said room in the house.
I consider the backyard a room now that you've hung my Edison lights as requested.
Yes, but no, that's not.
Okay. Living room?
No.
Bathroom?
Bathroom.
No. That's bathroom. Terrible.
So VEs that are testing people online have seen more bathrooms in 2020 than I don't know of anyone else. Strangers' bathrooms.
What?
Yeah. Most of the testing is done in bathrooms.
I guess that's where people get shit done.
Wow. With the dad joke. Very nice.
Which of the following entities recommends transmit receive channels and other parameters for auxiliary and repeater stations? A, FCC Regional Field Office. B, International Telecommunications Union.
You know, for your local repeater. I gotta call Spain.
C, Frequency Spectrum Manager appointed by the FCC. Mm-hmm. D, volunteer frequency coordinator recognized by local amateurs. It's got to be the FCC, right?
Read the question again.
Frequency spectrum manager.
Read the question again.
Which of the following entities recommends transmit/receive channels and other parameters for auxiliary and repeater stations?
Okay, so it's some entity that goes around and works with repeater operators to make sure they're not stepping on each other in your area, in and around the propagation space.
It's an FCC.
Space.
No, it's a volunteer frequency coordinator recognized by local amateurs.
Amateur radio is all volunteer. There's very little the FCC does anymore. They used to do that, but not anymore.
Just giving away authority, FCC, while still trying to charge for it.
Yeah, or they're trying to charge for it now, right, with the $50? Yeah.
In which direction does a half-wave dipole antenna radiate the strongest signal? A, in the direction of the feed line.
Don't look at me.
B, broadside to the antenna. C, equally in all directions. D, off the ends of the antenna. B, broadside to the antenna.
Good work.
Thank you.
It's a big donut.
Okay.
If you imagine a donut.
Yes.
Big space RF donut.
Yes.
The wires are going through the hole.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So the broadside is where the donut is. That's the RF.
Yes. Mm. Be where the donut is.
RF donut.
Yes.
You'll never forget now.
No, I'm not going to forget because of the last time I had it right and you made a face and then I was wrong. What is component 3 in figure T1?
Mm, good pod.
Questions made for podcasts. Mm-hmm. Figure T1 has component 3, which looks like an LED light bulb. A, lamp. B, transistor. C, ground symbol. D, resistor. I'm going to go with lamp because it looks like a bulb, and I am correct.
Good work.
And that's it. That's it for this.
That's
evening.
It.
Yeah, so I'm at 5.
You did 5.
Mm-hmm. I got one wrong.
Okay, so
yeah,
I think that's trending for success.
You jinxer.
You're trending for success. You'll even have a little on the back end, I think, to play with. Maybe a little freebie miss.
That's what happened last time.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
All right. So topic for the show today, and you probably already read the show title, of course, because that's how these things work, is getting started in ham radio. Now, what I mean getting started is like getting through your general license, right? Getting up and running. And there's going to be very like, it's kind of.
I thought getting started in ham radio was getting your tech.
No, I know. We're gonna take it all the way through general, though, in this discussion. It shouldn't take that long, I don't feel, but, you know, we're already well past the hour mark, so, hey.
So, sorry, buddies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, how to get started in ham radio. A lot of people have stories about how they grew up with, like, a CB radio, right? I grew up with a shortwave radio, so I was listening for long stations far off, before I even knew about ham radio, before I even knew what that was.
Okay.
So, I recommend people, as they start to get interested in ham radio, start to listen to stuff. Listen to radios more. If you happen to have a shortwave radio, or you've inherited one, or you know somebody in your family who has one, start listening to that. Use WebSDR, right? Like we talked about in the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
Consider buying an SDR. They're cheap. They're like $20-$30 off of Amazon. Connect it into your computer. It gives you a really cool waterfall display. And you'll begin to understand what RF looks like, the spaces of where there's actual activity on the bands, right?
Okay.
You can consider buying a Baofeng, a lot of people do, or a cheap, inexpensive ham radio to listen on, right? We're not transmitting.
Keep it legal.
Keep it legal. At that point, and this is where you can kind of flux a little bit on what you want to do, I'd say join a community. Join an online community. It doesn't have to be the Ham Radio Crash Course, but I recommend it. Consider reaching out to a club. Clubs are now online now, right? You can...
So amazing.
You can watch a Zoom session for the meeting.
So much technology.
You can be at home, have an easy time with it. Don't have to stress out about anything. Going to some...
I mean, make sure you're dressed.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You don't have to worry about going to like a community center where you've never been in a part of town you don't like to go to, meeting new people you've never met before, right? Oh, I'm just going to go online, right? I'm just going to go to a Zoom session. So consider, most clubs will have like, you can reach out to them, you can just attend their meeting.
I mean, there's a real downside to this, because it's my understanding that at club meetings, people bring in radios to show off.
Well, they still do that on Zoom. They just use their camera or something like that.
I know, but then you can't touch the radio. You can't play around with a radio.
Well, that's a very good point. That's very true. Perhaps, though, if you are engaged to that level, you can talk to the members and potentially...
Sure. Or you could go into your local HRO,
if
ham
you have
radio
one.
Store.
I mean, HRO has a lot of stores. There's a lot of... Okay. That a lot is the curious word. The United States is huge. There's not enough ham radio stores for everybody to just hop on down to their local radio store. You know what I mean?
Like, sure.
That's a thing of the past. It used to exist. It doesn't exist anymore. But if you
do
have
you
that,
recommend identifying the biggest antenna you can find in your neighborhood
and just
knocking, on the door?
Hey,
I notice you have an antenna.
Hey.
It's just like a really disgruntled wife answering the door.
Yeah, do you want it? I noticed you drove up in a Prius. You can strap that on your Prius and get out of here. Sure, you could do that, I guess. I probably wouldn't necessarily, but then I would say, like, okay, you know, at the same time, right? You can do this all at the same time. Start pulling up some training material. There's generally three ways to train to study for your ham radio license. You can buy a book. I still say Gordon West makes some of the best books to get your license. The ARRL makes some good ones too. I would say watch my videos, watch YouTube videos in general, but please go watch my videos on the technician and the general classes. I do walk through the content. And go to hamstudy.org. We're using the ARRL app on your iPad when we do the little test stuff, the test segment.
Mm-hmm.
You're capable of doing that too, but hamstudy.org kind of goes to the next level and explains a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Like your curiosity about, well, why? How do I measure the amperage? That kind of thing would be answered in the hamstudy.org site, right? When you're testing.
Oh, so you don't actually have to be married to you to get answers.
No, right.
Yeah.
No. You could go to hamstudy.org and check it out that way. when you're ready, and again, this is I never tell people it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, right? You're gonna take your time with it, enjoy. I know everybody wants to get their license like immediately, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying don't do it, but do experience radio while you are building up to that point. Then go to hamstudy.org/sessions. Sessions is the website where they coordinate online testing.
Mm.
And they will walk you through the process on how to test online, how to get your license. Once that's done, they generally process everything online. So your license will be provided to you in like a day, 2 days, maybe a week at most. And then you're ready to go. You can start transmitting. At that point, I would say, okay, sure. If you didn't already own a Baofeng or an HT or maybe a mobile radio, now would be a good time to do that. But look in your local area on things like repeaterbook.com. See what the local repeater scene is like on your area. See if there are local.
The scene.
Yeah, you know, the scene. Right? The local repeaters, like how close are they? If your closest repeater is, you know, 50 plus miles, well, you might not be able to do that on a handy talkie. So going and buying a handy talkie may not be the best option. You might want to consider a mobile radio instead for 50 watts output and putting an antenna on the side of your house and getting it kind of high up, you know, that kind of thing. So be cognizant of where you live. And if you do happen to find a repeater that's good, well, congratulations, kudos on that. That's actually kind of rare, right, these days. There are a lot of good repeaters out there. But at the same time, there are people that are in a total dead zone. Like they don't have a lot of repeaters. Like we're very lucky where we live that there's so much activity on repeaters these days.
I do like the local repeaters.
And there's a lot. Like I don't even think you've scratched the surface on listening to most
I've
of
only
them.
Listened to one.
No, you've listened to like three. You just
Oh, really?
Know. Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds like the same people though.
Some of them, yeah, some of, it's kind of funny.
Is repeater hopping a thing?
Oh, yeah.
It really does remind me so much of BBS's.
Yeah, this repeater's cooled down a little bit. I'm going to go where everybody's at over on this repeater.
It's like, I'm going to go check out the other BBS
well, yeah, because
and see who's online.
A lot of radios are dual channel, dual receive, and so you'll be listening on one repeater while the other one you're on is on. And if you start to hear everybody move over to the other one or it's getting lively over here, you just switch over. So yeah, that absolutely happens.
Man, wouldn't you just hate to be the ham that like logs into the repeater and suddenly everybody's migrated to another one?
Well, we don't log in. Like, it's not a BBS. We don't have to log
but
in.
I mean like you're talking and then suddenly everybody stops talking and then everybody goes to another repeater.
And then you go to that repeater and you try to talk to them and then they go back to the other one.
Yeah.
That's messed up.
I know.
That's ham radio bullying.
Is it?
I mean, I haven't experienced that, but I mean, maybe if people have experienced that, that's a super bummer. Now, kind of at that point, you've experienced the repeater thing, right? Generally, most people kind of start out that way. If you're super far away from a repeater, you're probably going to have to like use Simplex or whatever. At that point, you're kind of getting your feet wet a little bit.
Hang on. I'm going to pause on this.
Okay.
Because I feel like people on a repeater, based off of what I've heard, they genuinely become friends.
Yeah,
a you lot know, do. It's yeah. like a hangout spot. We literally had somebody from the repeater that you're on come and do our plumbing work when we had a pipe burst.
Yeah,
You know,
he was the repeater owner too.
Yeah, so
that certainly exists. And again, it's kind of like a community. It's kind of like a tribe, right?
Right.
There are some repeaters that are like super internet linked up, where you can't become like immediate local friends with each other because you could be talking to somebody in Texas.
Interesting,
right? And that's a bit of what digital radio has done. DMR, Yaesu System Fusion, D-Star, they're all really fun.
That must really upset some people, though.
Oh, dude, some people hate the digital modes.
Right, because imagine being from a pre-social media generation.
Oh, yeah. And those are generally the people who are bothered by it.
Well, because you're making friends the way that you would on social media. But you know that they are local to you, so that at some point, if you absolutely needed help from a neighbor,
right.
they would be within distance of helping.
These are all human beings who, like, you could physically go to their location.
Right.
Without much effort.
Right.
Like, these are humans, like real humans.
Right.
Versus
right.
far-flung internet humans, right?
Right. And you're hearing their voices, so there's not there's very low odds of being catfished, right? There's not a lot of ways to
fraud. I think you brought up catfishing twice on this. Fraud.
There's not a lot of ways to fraud when you're talking.
Yes.
Whereas, like, with a lot of modern technology and ways to connect with your people, there are a lot of ways for people to pretend to be one thing, not actually be that at all.
Right.
And you're never talking to them on the phone.
Right.
So it's...
Right.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, totally valid. That's, again, I think the digital modes are fun, but for me, I like the repeaters. I like the analog repeaters. I like local people. Right?
Yeah.
You know, they are real people. So again, if you win the lottery and live in an area where there are good repeaters, hey, that's great. You will enjoy that. So you get your feet wet a little bit. You know, we talked to Sean 2 weeks ago, or was it more than that? 3 weeks ago. And Sean brought up satellites, FM satellites,
mm-hmm.
right? You can have a lot of fun doing FM satellites with your technician license.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really, really fun aspect of the hobby. It's not for everybody, but it's really fun for the people that dig it, that are into it. There are a myriad of things you can do with your technician license. We mentioned satellite. We've mentioned Earth, Moon, Earth. We know how much the ladies are into that.
So hot.
So hot. and there's weak signal stuff, which is not using a repeater, but trying to make the furthest contact possible, right, with your VHF, UHF station. Still within 100 miles of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
All around kind of stuff, right? At some point, though, after listening on like an SDR, because you still have that SDR, right? Or you're still using mm-hmm. web SDR, you might start looking into like HF radio. Starts thinking about HF radio. Now, HF radios, as I've talked about on the live stream, is where there's kind of it's kind of a step up in terms of money you're going to expend and land you may need to put up antennas, all that stuff. But if you're interested in that, you generally want to start studying for your general license. Again, everything I said earlier, my videos for general, hamstudy.org, there's books for general. You can start going down that whole path of like learning about that level of ham radio.
Mm-hmm.
Much of what you have probably learned will still be relatively valuable or is valuable when you go take your general license. You still get technician questions when you take your general license, but there are more questions related to HF radio. Because again, with HF radio, you're going to need to focus more on your antenna. You can go buy off-the-shelf HF radio antennas, but they aren't plug-and-play like they are with VHF, UHF. You don't just stick a vertical antenna on the back of your car and go, well, I'm done with HF.
It doesn't feel like most things in ham radio are plug-and-play.
Most VHF radios are plug-and-play. VHF, UHF radios. I feel like they are. They have like techie nerd stuff like you can do with APRS, and there are digital holes that you can fall into that are complex in their own right.
Just seems like everything requires so much fiddling.
That radio that's been in the truck, you know, for a long time, the mm-hmm. same repeaters are programmed on that thing and they just work, right?
But you're saying that's repeaters.
But that's VHF, UHF in general is like a lot of people talking on repeaters. Or maybe simplex, but guess what? Simplex is the same frequency too. It's, you know, it's the same kind of thing. The advantage of HF is, so let's say you were in an area where you didn't have repeaters, or you do have repeaters, but you don't like the people that are on there, or worse, they're just kind of mean, they're curmudgeon-y, and there's only like one.
There's one person, like a repeater troll.
Right. People have told me stories that there are repeaters that never are used. Never.
But don't you have to pay to run a repeater?
Sometimes. Most of the time, no. Because where you put the repeater in these radio shacks on mountains and whatnot, they have the space for them and nobody has anything to put there. So they're just like, well, can I just leave this here while you guys do your other stuff? And they're like, yeah, sure, whatever.
But I thought you had to license a repeater.
There's a repeater owner.
Right.
right? Yeah, sure, but you don't have to like pay necessarily. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you got to pay for rent on the location that you're running the Peter. You got to pay for power, right? Because it runs off of power.
Mm-hmm.
So you do get charged for that, that kind of stuff. That does happen. A lot of repeaters in the area actually have like a fund that people chip into to pay for the repeater. Hmm. You know, that's a real thing. So let's say you're in a situation where repeaters aren't that great for you. Though the advantage of HF radio is that like nobody owns any of the bands, nobody owns any of the frequencies. We're all kind of like just being respectful to each other. And the goal of HF is that's when you get back to this like making that long distance contact and talking to people far away. Again, HF radio is where you're shooting your RF out over the horizon. It's hitting some layer of the atmosphere mm-hmm. and turning back in. So you're reaching beyond line of sight.
Right.
With your HF radio.
The ionosphere.
The ionosphere. And so that's compelling for lots of reasons. There's the technical challenge of just seeing how far you can make your low-powered radio go.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of joy people get from just like sending out data packets and, oh, look, I hit Russia. Right?
Right.
I hit Russia from my house.
There's a, there's a pride in how far. I remember, like, every time you hit somewhere that you've never made contact before,
right.
especially if it's far away, you are so excited. That's how I know it's a big deal.
Yeah. And you get like that. You get that cool, like, excitement from being able to make a long-distance contact, which is a bit different than I found with VHF, UHF. It's there's still amazing things you can do with it, like Earth, Moon, Earth, Meteor, Scatter, all that fun stuff. I'm not taking anything away from that. But with HF, you can do some pretty interesting fun stuff. So that's generally what I would say is kind of the next step is absolutely enjoy VHF, UHF. You don't lose it when you get your general. You can still mm-hmm. have all that fun. But getting your general is kind of what gives you the full powers of ham radio licensorship, right?
Sure.
That's where you get the full breadth of what's capable.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like when you play a video game and you unlock a couple more, you know, you kind of get to that mid-tier level, you know, when you hit level 30 in Diablo and you get the last like skill point or the last skill unlock, that kind of thing. Like you're just like, okay, cool. This is what the, this is what a fully, you know, leveled up ham looks like. Now you can go for the extra. And extra is like, you know, prestige level of ham radio.
Gotcha.
Right? Uh-huh. Putting in a gamer term, that's like your prestige level. But when you get to general, it's kind of like the doors open up. You know what I mean? So you have all the access to play and decide what you want.
Well, I mean, it must have been pretty sufficient because you stayed at general for a long time.
Technician.
No, I mean, general has to be pretty sufficient for HF because you stayed at general for a long time until you finally were like, I should just get the extra.
Yeah. Well, because people just kept bugging me about it. That was more of the reason, I think, than anything. But some of the reasons why you might want to upgrade to extra is like de-expeditions. They generally start in the extra spaces.
Okay.
And so if you want to like, if you want a fast way to get some of those de-expedition contacts that are like super rare, get your extra, because they generally start in the extra portions of the bands and work their way up to the general.
Gotcha.
There are less extras, so you're going to have less competition, and that's going to be particularly valuable if you are only running 100 watts per se. But that's late game ham radio. That's prestige level.
All right,
prestige level. But if you do go about getting your general, obviously, spend time listening. Get familiar with what happens during the day, during the evening. There are trends in daytime, nighttime ham radio. 40 meters is the nighttime band. 20 meters is the daytime band.
Yes, we know this because there is a shirt.
Mm-hmm.
It's 20 meters, 40 meters, sleep, repeat.
That's right. And there are nets that exist only on 40 meters. There are nets that exist only on 20 meters. There's all that stuff that you will begin to become familiar with. And that's just, you know, fun learning process, fun learning stuff is becoming, getting some kind of mastery of that. And really, I mean, in a nutshell, that's kind of like starting out in ham radio. There's many different paths you can take, paths that I didn't cover. And by my not covering it, that doesn't mean it's not important and you shouldn't do it. No, not at all. But yeah, and then load digital and just work FT8 and JSA call.
All right.
It. Make sure you do that too. Yeah.
Well, thank you for the guide.
Do you feel inspired, Leia? Are you ready to get that license?
Just want to take on the ham radio world.
Yeah.
Right after this nap.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for the Ham Radio Crash Course. We should always mention this in the beginning. We always forget to do that. But the links for all the things are in the description. Our Facebook group, our Discord, the Patreon, which helps support the channel and the podcast and all the fun stuff that goes along with it. We have a newsletter that is only available at Patreon, but good news is at the $2 level, you get access to the newsletter. And that's all it takes to get started in that side. Any other things you want to add, Leia? Anything we have to talk about? We talked about the sweater, the Go In a Woods.
Yes.
Hoodie.
The hoodie.
Is it a zip or a hoodie?
It's going to have to be a hoodie.
It has to be,
there's
right?
No way to
the
put
logos
the...
Right in the middle. Yeah.
Yeah. You got it.
Mm-hmm. What else? Anything else before we wrap this thing up?
No. I'm just still spinning in election stuff. So
yeah, I feel like we didn't really do the intro with you just kind of going on a tangent about something. Really lose people right in the beginning, not talking
yeah,
about
yeah, exactly.
But I'm assuming it's just because of the week that we're having.
You know, I think it's because I think I'm a true moderate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so
it's probably good that we're having this conversation at the end of the podcast.
Yes.
So anybody who's stuck around,
yeah,
you got some hot pod coming
yeah.
up.
No, I'm a true moderate. So I, in the sense that I feel like either way, it's going to be bad.
I mean, I wouldn't, I don't even know what true moderate means, first of all. I don't get that. But I agree with the sentiment. Either way she goes,
yeah,
not going to be good.
Yeah.
I don't really like either option.
Exactly.
So I feel like one is worse than the other, though. But that's me.
I think each is bad in its own special way.
I mean, that's true. They bring different kinds of bad.
Yeah, but the bad that I care about sits with one party versus
right.
the bad that I care less about sits with another party.
I am the same, but ours is probably different.
Yes.
I'm worried about guns.
Sure. And sure.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to paying taxes on guns. That doesn't make any sense to me.
If there was ever a time for the NRA to earn their dues.
Well, if the Senate doesn't flip, then it's probably not a problem, but still.
Yeah, I don't know. but it's just hearing both sides just be fanatically crazy about what's going on. And it's not so much who takes office that now I'm thinking about. It's what happens when there are actual results.
Oh, yeah. Like the other, like humanity.
Yeah,
like the rest of society.
I read this like really thought-provoking article on, and this is not fun, really. This is not fun.
We're
going to
leave you on a high note.
Yeah.
Yeah.
but the article was about, the author was from Sri Lanka. Mm. And it was about how Americans, you are not waiting for a collapse. You are already in the middle of the collapse. The collapse doesn't look like...
Oh, this
like,
is heartwarming.
Yeah, like
wow.
the collapse, because they had lived through a collapse in Sri Lanka.
Mm-hmm.
So they are basically saying the collapse doesn't look like punches in your face and ash falling from the sky. It is this heightened feeling of discomfort and all of these bad things constantly happening with like horrific news cycles while you worry about what you're going to have for dinner. The average person's life doesn't dramatically change in a collapse. It's just that.
Oh, that's interesting. Sure.
Right, like it's not actually a collapse, like a physical collapse. It's how your society hits deep instability.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and if you're looking at all of the places that are having to board up in anticipation of what may happen, this is kind of what it feels like. We're not in a stable place where one citizen can say to another citizen, it's okay if your candidate wins.
Sure. So yes, on the boarding, I agree that that's a, you know, but also at the same time, that just seems like what you do if you're a business owner.
If you're expecting unrest.
Yeah, but when have we not expected unrest?
Were people boarding up windows in 2016?
They were boarding up windows during the LA riots.
Because those were actual riots. The fact that we're anticipating riots in response to an election result, that is actually, to me, deeply un-American, that the response would be potential riots.
But, this is the part I don't really understand. You look back in history and you hopefully learned a lesson from it.
Yeah.
The Rodney King riots were a byproduct of police brutality.
Yes. So
the shop owners had no reason to expect there to be riots, but there were. And they learned a lesson from that.
Sure. Time. And I understand that. If you're dealing with like a massive racial injustice or a watershed moment, mm-hmm. that is really on a very personal level,
mm-hmm.
right? That's different from like we're electing a president. This is supposed to be a very dignified experience.
Well, so another good example. The Lakers just won. Let's riot.
I can't explain sports to you. I don't even watch them anymore.
But shop owners learned a lesson from that too, right? I get what you're saying, though, about the decorum of the presidency should be better than this, right?
I'm not even talking about the presidential candidates, whatever presidential candidates.
But the fact we had an election.
Yeah, the fact that like a response to an election mm-hmm. where our system has been built, it's a republic.
It's a republic, yes.
Right? And if the numbers come out
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't go to your candidate,
mm-hmm.
why would the response ever be to riot and damage the businesses and property of your neighbors?
I can tell you my thought. It's because people are...
opportunists?
People are opportunists, but also... you have the collective anxiety that people are feeling. Where did they get that from? Where did it come from? Social media, the media in general. Whatever sure. your belief is, you watch that media, and they are bringing out stories
sure.
to amplify the signal. To make it, you know, radio related, amplify the signal of what is happening is important news that you should be following.
But I mean, the last time in American history where people disagreed so much on theology or not theology, but philosophy of how the country should be run to the point that they were willing to basically boots on the ground was the Civil War.
No. The Civil Rights Movement, boots on the ground. Now, we're not talking about violent boots. We're just talking about people protesting.
I'm talking about violent boots.
Oh, you're talking about violent boots specifically. I guess that's true. There's small pockets of violence that has
sure,
popped up, but nothing like this.
But like as a nation where mm-hmm. you have coast to coast people preparing. Well,
what if it's just a matter of the king has no clothes? For the longest time, we've held this like feeling that the presidency is super important and that, oh, we've got to have a certain level of respect for the president. What if everybody's just over it?
But the violence doesn't have to do with like massive disrespect of presidential candidates. Mm-hmm. People have long not agreed, or we have free speech in this country. Plenty mm-hmm. of people don't agree with different presidential candidates. But now we have neighbors who are willing to go to blows with neighbors.
Well, we've probably always had that to a certain degree, the going to blows.
Yeah, I mean,
but again, we've amplified it because we have our own little pockets where we can go on the internet that just keep the rage up. The volume is always set to 11.
Well, actually, I think it has, I mean, that's an element, but I think it's actually the pandemic, that there is a group.
Oh, sure. And that definitely is amplifying it.
Right, because like we're all not only cooped up, but there is one side that is feeling like their rights are being infringed upon,
right,
while the other side feels like their lives are being put at risk.
Right.
You
right,
know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
So
I always said that, like, when I, you know, just when I do something innocuous, like go to Trader Joe's and I come back and it's like, I feel like everybody is right at the breaking point.
Oh, I don't like, feel that way.
Oh, yeah. I get a feeling that people are like,
I mean, really there's definitely more tension. Like you go up and when you talk to somebody who's working a check stand or mm-hmm. something, you almost have to make the extra effort to dispel any tension because it feels like they are bracing themselves for some kind of or assault.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody's turned up so tightly because the ambient stress level is through right. the roof.
Yeah.
Like you cut somebody off accidentally and it's going to be like a fight almost. Yeah. It feels like it's a powder keg waiting to explode. And this is just the
I mean, match. I think that's what really amplified the Black Lives Matter movement too.
I think
well,
the explosion of Karens.
Oh yeah.
All the Karens.
That's a response to
totally
all of it.
The lack of power that people feel.
Yeah.
In just their everyday lives.
Yeah.
Or they're just total exhaustion from it.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
I mean, I'm fairly exhausted as
Me
well.
Too.
Yeah.
I'm tired right now.
But I mean, I am really worried about people who will kind of take out this anxiety and stress and it will turn into something potentially violent.
Yeah, I guess it just points to your example. I almost expect it. That there will be something. There has to be. The country's just too big that there won't be. Right.
Yeah.
It's whether or not it's widespread.
And you know, we're in California. So had it gone to Trump, I would have been worried.
California gone to Trump?
No. Had the election gone to Trump? Right. Because we're on the.
Well, we don't know.
Nothing's been called
yet.
We
don't know what's going to happen as of recording this. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow when this gets published.
But I mean, and for all intents and purposes, it seems like it's going to go to Biden. Like okay. where we are today as of recording,
mm-hmm.
Who knows? But I would be worried in California, especially being so close to Orange County, that if it goes to Trump, because I think what will happen is that the majority in that state
mm-hmm.
will rise up against the minority, right? Like the blues will be very upset with the reds in California if Trump wins. But I worry if Biden wins that in areas like Arizona and Georgia mm-hmm. that were right on the cusp and maybe flipped blue,
mm-hmm.
that those are really the areas that you're going to see issues.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I guess I didn't really think about it like that. Wow. Well, yeah, we'll leave you with those heartwarming thoughts. That was good.
Well,
it was a little cathartic to get that off
my chest. What I want to leave people with mm-hmm. is, like, at the end of the day, whoever is elected president and whatever you want it to happen in this election, you really have a large choice in what your day-to-day life looks like.
Right.
And hopefully what you choose is to live peacefully with your neighbors.
Right. Yes, I agree.
And find a productive rather than destructive way to funnel your anxieties. Mm-hmm. And get out there and be prepared for what could happen. I mean, they're saying that potential supply chain interruptions if there is civil unrest across the country.
Sure, right? And we just passed our highest number of COVID outbreaks today, didn't we?
Yeah.
Which is just also crazy.
So, I mean, I'm assuming Ham Radio Crash Course friends that you are all already very prepared people, but if you are not already prepared for supply chain
more.
Cutoffs, go get some stuff for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know?
I would also like to say, at the end of the day, as much as the federal government, everybody wants to believe is super impactful of your daily lives.
Yeah.
There are some things that can be super impactful from the federal government, but most important politics is local politics.
Right.
You know what they say is all politics is local.
I mean, the taxes and guns thing, that's
problematic in its own right. But keep that in mind. If you are worried about what happens on this election and future elections, get involved at the local level. Start to make a direct change in your local communities and get the benefit from that.
Yeah, because
that's going to be the most impactful.
Even your senators and your House of Representatives. And I mean, those are the people who need to hear what you stand for, mm-hmm. so that they're out there fighting for you, that they're advocating for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Good point. Yeah. So yeah, this is the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast. everybody take a big cathartic inhale and exhale and go play ham radio. It's a great stress reliever. Having fun with radio, dinking around with antennas, do some soldering. I'm telling you. Okay, good shout out. November 14th is going to be our live build where we're going to be building the Four States QRP cricket on 40 meter cricket. It'll be a live build, so we're going to have a Zoom session. We're going to try and get a bunch of people onto the Zoom session as much as we can that it's manageable. And solder more. Soldering is very zen, I found.
And we learned a lot about rosin this.
And we did.
Yeah.
Thanks to Sterling. All right, everybody, that is going to do it. Thank you so much for listening. We would love to hear the comments on this podcast. I can't wait to hear the comments for people who stayed all the way to the end.
Yes, and you're welcome to email me, mm-hmm. leah@hamtactical.com.
And we would love your comments on iTunes, if you don't mind giving them on iTunes. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that people don't necessarily like that. But hey, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again next week. 73.